Good evening, Abosa. Good evening, good evening. So we learned yesterday the halacha of who has to bench. And we learned that the Godol Mevorech, we tried to define what's a Godol. And we learned that this applies even nowadays in where we're not motzi others. We learned that there's a minig of an Ovel to bench Mezuman. And then we learned that this is actually only true if they are all on an equal standing with regards to, in terms of whose bread it is, who's the balapas. Now comes the big disclaimer, very relevant indeed. First line of Sif Aleph. Ve'hana mele, everything that we said until now, that a godel is a mevorech, Simon Resh Aleph Sif Aleph. that we learned that Godel is mevorech and he's got permission to give to a cotton, he's got permission to give a shus to bench. This is Hanamele, those words. She'ein shom oireach, if there is no guest. Aval im yesh shom oireach, if there is a guest, hu mevorech, the guest will bench. Afilu im balabais godel memenu, even if the balabais is greater, but the guest overrides the balabais. Kedei, in order sheyivorech, that he should bench le balabais to the balabais. So there is an underlying yesoid here, an essential point, that we, even if there's a balabais and there is guests, then we have to enable the guest to bench. We have to, although he doesn't own it, and on the contrary, he's the guest, but we want him, Dafke, to bench. Why is that? Because we want him to bench to the balabais, to bless the balabais, saying the following bracha. Uma bracha mevachoi. What is the bracha that he benches to the balabais? Yei rotzon, it should be the will of Hashem. Shelo yevoish, that is, that the balabais should not be embarrassed. V'lo yikolein balabais hazeh, that the owner, the balabais of this house, should not be embarrassed. V'lo yikolein, v'lo yikolein ba'olam hazeh, not in this world, v'lo ba'olam abo, not in the next world. And this is a bracha indeed, that is yirotznis from the Gemara. V'yatzliach b'chol nechosov, and he should be successful, v'ol nechosov, v'yun nechosov mutzlochim m'goyim la'ir, that he should be successful in his endeavors. And it should be all close to him and easy. Everything should go smooth. For Leishloi Tzotan, and the Tzotan should not control him, should not have any access to his actions. Pemai Seyodov and his actions of his hand. For Leizdakek, Lefonov, Shum Dovar, Chet, Veiru, Oven, Me'at V'adoylam. So this is a beautiful bracha, which has to be said. And we want to enable the Ireach to say the bracha to the Balabais. Hence, the Ireach benches. Yeah, but it makes more sense if the one who benches says it. It makes more sense. Remember, really what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is a case that he's moitzi the others. Then certainly the halacha is like that, because he's the only one benching that. V'im balabais roitze levateh, the Shulchan Aruch continues, if the balabais wants to be mevater, he wishes not to be particular about this albikose on his boche. He wishes to let go. And he wants to. He prefers to bench himself so that and hence nobody's going to give that yirotz that boche to him. So Rishai is allowed to do so. And actually, if he wishes to give a balabais, wants to give the boche to anybody else who may not be an arach. He may want to give it to his son, who is over Bamet, so may want to give it to his father, who is not necessarily an Oireach. So he's allowed to do so as well. So ideally, the Balabais should enable the Oireach to bench, so he should have the Brocha. If he wants to let go, he can let go. And in fact, if he wants to bench himself, he can do so. If he wants to give it to anybody else, he can do so as well. But it's not advisable. Yeah.
Are they
are still applicable, yes, they are. But to a lesser extent.
What would be the because of the old halachas, now we're just carrying on. Is it like a hemshech of halachas, or is there actually a reason why we would actually make
It's because the Yirotzoin really is associated with one who benches, who makes the Zimun. So it really. It's attached to it, really. So therefore, even Bismanenu, it makes more sense that he's the one, if he's not, but it's Takanot, it's Noma'akev. Of course, you're right, that if somebody benches Mezuman, could still be somebody else says the Yirotzoin. And in Yidiyat Takademinik, that nowadays, if you are in a place that you're not necessarily asked to bench Mezuman, there's somebody else bench Mezuman, but you are a guest eating elsewhere, or you have not been asked to bench Mezuman, but you are a guest, the loch would still be that you're going to say the Yirotzen. Yeah. Where is that? Number seven. I didn't see it. Let's see, where is number seven? He says that it just talks about the actual. Reb Chaim Pinchas seems to be out addressing the nusach that we say. What were you asking? He doesn't say he shouldn't say. You should say the nusach that he said. He doesn't say the whole nusach. He would only say those words without the continuation. Yeah, he does say in the Hemshech, he brings from the Orach HaShulchan that I didn't know that. That's very interesting. He does bring in the continuation of the Orach HaShulchan, and it seems that other poskim also paskin that everybody should say that bracha. Rabbi said, when you are a guest and there is one person saying now the Yotzen, will you also say it quietly or will you not? When you were bach in yeshiva, right. I'm sure you were invited out.
Everybody
bench quietly, but the Yotzen you're going to say loud.
People do sometimes say it loud.
They will say it loud, right? Right. What the Bala boys? Yeah, he will. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, I remember when I was a bocha, a fresh bocha, I just came in Gates. I never really ate out, and in I came to Mir, and you're basically forced to eat out when you get to Mir. I don't know what it's like now, but then it was, and I ate in the first Shabbos. I ate by somebody. And when he came to the Yirotzen, so he like was all he was wanting to make sure, he tapped on my shoulder, he made sure I should say the Yirotzen, and make sure, he made sure that he's quiet and he's gonna say the Omen, he was all so make sure that I wouldn't forget. So because the truth is 100% right, because the whole reason is, the truth is, he's right. He's 100% right. Because the whole idea is, as we sing Shulchan Aruch here, that we want the guest to say the bracha. We just don't appreciate what a bracha is all about, and how the value and how precious it is to say the Yirotzen. We don't appreciate the value of it. But yes, so yeah, there is, I know, but there's not, some don't, yeah. Because it, maybe because it's a personal bakosha, or not sure, but they, maybe. Yeah. Altia Birkas Hedyat Kalab Einecho, the Gemara says. Don't say that your bracha is not worth much. Everybody's bracha is worth a lot. Yeah, and I mentioned it that the Shulchan Aruch said earlier that somebody who says the same Talamot to the bracha in the summer, so it's considered a klola. Do you remember the halacha? Somebody said in the middle of the summer, somebody says the same Talamot to the bracha. So it's considered a klola, and the relevant halachas are that you have to sort it out, you have to go back, etc., etc. So it's considered a klola. The Gemara says it's considered a klola. The question that some of our Shema asked, what kind of klola can that be? This is a person who's sitting in the middle of the summer, he's sitting with the same Talamot to the bracha. He's talking about rain in the middle of the summer. That's obviously not a very great Shmoyne Esser. He's obviously thinking about something else. He's either thinking about his business, or he's talking about his latest fight with his, I don't know. So he's not really focusing so much in the Shemana Esra. So what kind of Klal is that already? What kind of Shemana Esra is that already? It's not on a high level Kavona. So why is that considered a powerful Shemana Esra that it's considered the Klala? It's nothing. It's worthless. It's a worthless Shemana Esra. The answer is that we see that even a person who has no Kavona, but a person who's just verbalizing and reciting the words of the Shemana Esra, the tefillah which Chazal were mesaken, it's extremely, extremely powerful. We don't appreciate it. We don't value it sufficiently. But a person who just verbalizes the words for Anshek and Asak and Adoyla, and similarly also, no doubt, the Rotsen of a benching, it's very, very valuable. It's very powerful. And it's just about us appreciating it. Says the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said, the Shulchan Aruch said that if a person, let us define a guest. How do you define a guest? So a guest, how would you define a guest? That should say the Yotzen. How do you define a guest? An Oreach. Define a guest. Well, so that would have been the right, but the Mishnah Berurah comes exactly, precisely to exclude that. I would also would have said the same thing. But that's not definition. That's not the precise definition of an Oreach. The precise definition of an Oreach is, as Mishnah Berurah said, "Shu oichal mepitoy shel balabais." If he eats the bread of the balabais. So in other words, if you come with your own sandwich because you've got a different diet, and you've got allergies or something like that, and you come with your own food to somebody who is hosting you, then because you're coming with your Hermes package because you're not eating so if you come with your own food, you're not halachically, as far as this is concerned, you're not considered an oreach. It's only if you eat from the food provided of the balabais, then you're considered an oreach, and that's when you're going to say the yotzen. But if you're eating your own food, if you bring your own, then you're not an oreach, even if you're there. Because you need to benefit from the food of the oreach. You have to benefit from the food of the balabais. This is Mishnah Berurah says, "Shu oichal mepitoy shel balabais, mevorich afilim yeshom kama oichim." Now, what happens if there's a few oichim? What are you going to do now? Who are you going to give it to? Gadol. You said the gadol. Gadol bechachma. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "If katan dalam mevorich afilim yeshom kama oichim, even if there is a few oichim." Totally, if he died to shel balabais, he goes according to the opinion of the balabais. His opinion. He cannot give to anybody. So if he's got, he can give to anybody. He doesn't have to give to the gadol. The Sharetzinsif Cotton Dalit brings from a mashmos in the Gemara that you can give to anybody. It doesn't seem even yulachatchila meant to give it to the gadol. It doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be. You could probably give it to anybody, and you don't have to look out for the gadol. Sif cotton, hey, uma brochem bevochoy. Besefer elechem chamudas, toma, lomon, mishanin, nusach abroche, the balabais, mashaneva, beshas. This is slightly different, the different nuschos. Why do we have our current nusach? But the truth is that we find very often that nuschos of the Gemara are slightly altered and changed over the generations. I mean, Tfilas Adach is another example, and there's many examples that we don't actually say exactly the nusach of the Gemara. Yeah, Sivkot Nvav Rishai. So you're allowed to take the bracha for yourself. Shaloi tiknu liten l'oreach edo l'tevosoi. So the whole reason why it is that takana, says the Mishnah Berurah, that we give to the reach is for his own benefit. It's for the balabai's benefit. It's for your own benefit. So if you prefer to keep the benching for yourself, okay, kazunt hate, with pleasure. Keep it for yourself. The whole reason why we're giving it to the guest is because we want you to benefit from the guest bracha. But if you want to keep it for yourself, okay, fine, be it so. Kadesh tiknu liten l'oreach elo tevot l'tevoso kadesh yivachenu. For kolchkein, even more so, kolchkein imoreach eino hogun be'einov diesh l'lasis kein. That's an interesting one, that Mishnah Berurah says that if you are concerned that the oreach is eino hogun be'einov, he's not an appropriate hogun, he's not appropriate, you shouldn't give the bracha to him. You shouldn't give him the bracha. You shouldn't give, if you feel the guest is not an appropriate guest, don't give him to say the Yirotzen. I'm repeating the words. Shaloi tikna lo yireach elo tevos lo kidei shevachenu. V'kol shken, even more so, ima yireach, if the guest, eino yhogun be'eino, if he's not appropriate in Balabai's eyes, yesh lo lasus ken, he should rather keep the bracha himself. Rabbi say, I do not know why. Pardon? Yeah, al tir broch, al tir birkas hedit kala beinecho. I don't know why. Why is it that you know, if you have that guest, that he's a dodgy fellow. He's a dodgy fellow. You know him. You've seen him before. He's a funny fellow. You know about his business deals. You know about his encounter. You just know him. You've met him before. You've seen him before. He's not hogun. He's a, you know, you've seen him on Shabbos doing. He's not hogun. Yeah, it says that. Now my question is, why should you not give it? It sounds like it's not right to give to a person who is not appropriate. Better not to give him to bench you. Why? Why? And I'm going to add the wording of Rabbi Kagan that Altia Baker said, it can't do any harm. A bracha is never do harm. So you are saying that Toiv Ein...
You don't like him, you want his bracha.
You don't want his bracha.
You don't like him, you want his bracha. You want
his bracha. Why?
You don't like him.
Because... Because, but is that justified? Is it a right approach or a wrong approach?
It's probably wrong.
So you're saying that because you don't feel that connection to him, the bracha is not going to be chal. That's interesting. But that reminds me of Erechaim HaKadosh. I hear that bracha is always some sort of connection. One second, I'm just thinking about Erechaim HaKadosh. That Erechaim HaKadosh says that there is that thing that the bracha has to have some sort of connection. That's what we find by Yaakov Avinu, that he kissed his children. He wanted to kiss his children and find Menashe. Because you need to have that love and that connection for bracha to be chal. Very interesting. Yeah, I hear the Orchaim HaKadosh.
And also, we can't mocha somebody if we don't feel it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, okay, I hear that. So that's maybe an explanation according to Orechaim HaKadosh why you shouldn't give to an Orech She'en Hogun. And you were suggesting Rabbi Feingold and other pshat? Toiv Einu Yevorech. There was a halacha earlier, Rabbi Feingold reminds us that there is a halacha earlier, Toiv Einu Yevorech, that is a halacha, an explicit halacha we learned earlier. Do you remember which simon it was? That a person, somebody who's generous, he should be the one benching. If he's in a Hogun, chances are that he's not generous, and he's not Toiv Ein, and therefore he shouldn't be benching. Can he do any harm if he benches? He just said there's no point. Good. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, very good shot. Yeah.
And aside from the bracha of the Balabayas, he's also being might see everybody else benching, according to this.
Yep.
He doesn't.
It doesn't sound like it's a lack of kavana though, because it's einu hogun. So he said einu hogun be einav. It appears that it's more about I don't like him. Right. He's saying that he's lacking in that yashus. Yeah. You're saying that he's lacking in certain yashus. Yeah, and therefore it shouldn't be the one benching. It shouldn't be the one benching. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Yeah. You wouldn't get the bracha. Ah, yeah. Yeah, that's another pshat. Okay, so we've got b'chem quite a few pshatim over here. One pshat according to Erechaim HaKadosh, that the bracha is only chal if there is that chibah, and therefore if he's in a hogun, don't offer him to say the bracha. Another pshat, Rabbi Feingold's pshat was, based on the early halacha, that toiv ayin yivorech, and another balabatish pshat, that you want to make sure he's got the kavanah to be moitzi. And then, was another pshat? Kohen, right. For the next Dirshu edition, you're going to have Chaburah's Dirshu edgeware, four pshatim in this Mishnah Berurah, very nice. Yeah, very good. Sifkot and Zayin tells the Mishayitze, give it to whoever wishes. You're allowed to give the remorses to whoever wishes. The Mishayitze, Hainu, da filim echot somuch al shulchonoi, Even if you've got somebody semech al shulchanai, somebody who is semech al shulchanai, somebody who is relying on you and eats by you, umeshalel mejmei mezoinoi, and even if he pays to eat by him, shoisa ein tzorich levorech la balabais, he doesn't have to bend for the balabais. Kam ken reshai litino levorech, he's still allowed to give him reshai litino levorech. He's still allowed to give him to say the bracha. In the previous generations, for many doiras there was a minhag that in yeshivas didn't have any dorms. Dorms is quite a recent invention. There was no dorms in many yeshivas, especially in the Lithuanian yeshivas. There was no dorms, and what happened was the apochim used to eat was universally called teig, which actually means days. The way it was a deal that most people, there was a few variations depending on the affluence of the communities, but generally the way it worked is people didn't have a lot of money to give tzedakah. People didn't have a lot of money to be mefanes aniyim, because they were a lot of Klal Yisrael was very poor. They still wanted to have this chus of being mefanes and supporting Torah. So, when you have a family of 12 kids, and there's another person, you can add another few potatoes, it doesn't make so much of a difference, that you can afford. You can't give tzedakah, but you can give a few potatoes. So, what happened was that they used to have a minhag, take that where there was yeshivas, families would host bochim who would learn in the near yeshivas, and they would sleep by this balabatim. And they would feed them as well. Again, just add a few potatoes that you'd be able to. There was a goyis chus, and that was called teig. There was other places that was not like that, and they were a bit more affluent. And it was, and there used to be often a bit of discussions and tension about who would sleep by whom, and they would often stay there for years, mamash for years, teig. When it was very embarrassing. I heard myself from people who still ate teig, and it was a very very embarrassing experience. It was very embarrassing, but at the end of the day, it wasn't very comfortable. You know, at the end of the day, you feel uncomfortable. You're not one of the kids. You're not really part of the family. And you don't feel very comfortable. How would you feel to sleep elsewhere and to eat from their food, especially if they're not very wealthy? You don't feel very geschmack. You don't feel very comfortable. So therefore, there was an invention of the dorms, and there's a family Masoret that my great grandfather yeshiva in Hungary. Apparently, that's what they say. It was the first yeshiva with a dorm. Was my great grandfather? Turned it was everywhere, but certainly in Hungary was the first yeshiva with a dorm. He had yeshiva in Miskolc, and apparently the story goes that some people had tainas on that, and it said that it's not right. It's not right. How can you? Apparently one of the G'dole Rosh Yeshivas went up to him, to my great-grandfather, Shmuel Osterlitz, and he told him that, how can you deprive, because now, all the Balabatim, until now, they had the Broch of the Debochim, who would say the Yotzen for them. He'd say the Yotzen of the biggest Balabais. And it's a great chus, and it's a great merit. And now that you're making a dorms, and Bochim are sleeping there, and Bochim are not sleeping in by Teig anymore, they're not sleeping and staying by Balabatim, but rather they have their own domes. So you're depriving the Balabatim from those brachas. And it was a taina. But he responded and he said, if you know what it feels like to eat teig, then you wouldn't be speaking like that. You want to tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon, about big brachas. The brachim don't feel comfortable, so you have to look after them. Like the Chaim Oizer once said when it was, Chaim Oizer, I just saw recently, momish recently, I saw this moedig when it was difficult tkufas before, between the two wars in Litter, at one point it was financial, very, very, it was a huge strain financially. And they went to Chaim Oizer and they made the whole, they tried to get funding, and then they would sat together with the Rabbonim and Gdolim, and Dayonim, they'd raised funds. In those days, it was still the funding came a lot from Germany. It was before the Nazis came to power, Yimach Shemam. And the fund, there was quite a lot of affluence in Germany. And they were able to raise quite a lot of funds for the poor Kehillahs. And when they raised all the funds, so they asked Chaim Oizer, okay, so there's, that should be, what should it be, where should the fund go? And they said, Some people are poor, but some people are so poor they don't have tefillin. Don't have talisman, that should be the priority. How much money should we take from talisman and tefillin? Reb Chaim Oizen machted avek like this. The God Adoy, he was chairing the committee, he was chairing the funding. And he machted avek like this. He said, Reb Chaim Oizen, the God Adoy, the Pesach Adoy, he said, talisman and tefillin, what are you talking about? Talisman and tefillin, they can borrow from their neighbors in shul. You have to give them chickens and potatoes. And milk and bread. That's what you have to give with the money. With the money, the money shouldn't go for any tefillin and for any talisim. It should go for chickens and potatoes and milk. You know, because that's what you can't, you need to have your own. Tefillin you can borrow from somebody else. Don't perform on somebody else's cheshbon. That's the gallows of Chaim Oizen. Right, so it's a moedig emaisa this. It's a moedig emaisa. Right, okay, so we covered tonight, Bezer Hashem Isbach Shema. We spoke about the bracha of, the bracha of the balabais, but before that we spoke about the gadol mevorich. Ideally, the gadol should bench. That's if there's no oichim. If there's oichim, then the oireach should be asked. The guest should be asked to bench. And he says the yirotzen, which is quoted the Enshul Chon Aruch, a very beautiful bracha. If the balabais is mevata and he doesn't want the bracha, it's fine. So let him go without it, and he can bench himself. He can ask anybody as well to bench. We learned that we benched that is the gewaltige schos of having the bracha and Eve the bracha of the balabais, and we learned that one shouldn't give the birkas balabais if he's nahogun. We had four pshat him in that. And that's what we covered tonight. More to follow tomorrow. It's Hashem on this.